Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's basketball head coach Courtney Banghart. Coach, welcome.
Thanks a lot. I'm glad to be here.
So, busy times for your team, and you had an interesting game at Penn State the other day, and heading out to Cancun for three games there. That will not be easy. But first, let's talk about the undefeated Princeton football team. You, who have a 30-0 regular season on your resume, can relate to what it's like to not lose a game. And I mean, 30 is harder than 10, but football, you know, you're going to, you know, in basketball, I would think you'd have the day where the shots aren't falling. In football, you would have the day where just passes are dropped, penalties, like just breaks going against you. But either way, how hard is it to do that?
Yeah, the consistent excellence is really hard in every way. Winning any game has is hard, and winning 10 or 30 or whatever your season entails is takes grit, takes leadership, takes fluidity, takes talent. I mean, it's just a special year.
So, I mean, at what point do you start to think in terms of perfection, or do you not? Or does that get in the way of, like, the preparation?
Yeah, I got to say, I apparently our 30-0 year, Blake, and after our fifth game, Blake and Annie had made a bet that she was going to dye her hair. Remember that? And sure enough, we did it, so she had to dye her hair. I'm not even sure I thought about it. I think it was finally, like, once we started Ivy League play, when we were undefeated in non-conference, I was like, oh, if we win all the Ivy League games, we'll be undefeated. And I knew we were a really good Ivy League team. So it wasn't until halfway through that it even literally was on my radar. I didn't even think of it.
My colleague in this office, Andrew Borders, was the first person to suggest 30-0. He like said it like when you were 3-0 that you were going to be 30-0.
Gosh, yeah, that was a really good team back then. I think we're gearing up for another really good team in time here.
So in football, I mean, another factor is injuries or just, you know, the physical pounding that you take week after week. But that was a dominant run by Princeton football, and I know that you're a big fan of Bob Cerace and, you know, your neighbors and all, and just talk a little bit about him. And
I mean, when you have I don't even know what it was, but it was, if you look at their scores versus their opponent's scores collectively over the course of the season, it's just dominance, and you're getting every team's best, especially as you get through halfway through the season. So you know, Bob has remains consistent. He remained fearless, he remained confident, and he was able to keep his team in that same way. It's something he won't forget. I sent him a text yesterday just to remind him that I know you're always what's next, but just enjoy this because, you know, I think I did the 30-0, but now I have a little bit more experience now. And, you know, you're in a special time, and hopefully you can enjoy it.
So let's switch back to women's basketball. Let's start with the game against Penn State. You know, it's a Big Ten team in their building. It's a beautiful arena. They had a decent crowd, I thought. I mean, the numbers weren't great, but they were into it. And, you know, it was a game that your team was behind, got off to, you know, seemed like you were playing from behind a lot, got off to a bad start shooting the ball, and then heated up, built a lead. They tied it and then lost in overtime. But what are your main takeaways from that game?
I think we're becoming a team, finally. I think we're, you know, the young. We have obviously a very competitive senior class. We only had two upperclassmen in uniform for that game. I know you were there, which I appreciate. And we had, you know, so the two upperclassmen that are in uniform are leading so competitively. And you can see that game in, game out. And then, you know, Warrior point guard Carly continues to give you a chance because of how she manages the possessions in the game. And then the young guys, they're just getting more competitive. They're playing harder. They're playing with fearlessness. They're buying into how competitive you have to be on a consistent possession basis. So I think they're growing up and giving, you know, especially we got in foul trouble late with losing Gray Stone and Sydney Jordan to foul trouble before the end of the game. I mean, you're literally playing, Jerry, with like two people that have any collegiate basketball experience in the Big Ten in an overtime game. So, you know, we could very easily, as you know, be 3-1, arguably 4-0, but with this group and where we are right now and where we are in the journey, I'm quite happy.
So the game ended up 79-71. It was like, I mean, your team was stuck at six for a long time.
I think by the end of the first quarter, it was bad.
Right. What's your sense as you're watching it unfold a little bit? Because Penn State wasn't pulling away or anything like that, but did you just have a sense that, because it was also one of those things where, you know, you take a shot. Every shot looked like it was going in. Like a lot of times you see teams rush shots.
Absolutely. Like, I was going to say.
Every shot looked like it was going in.
Absolutely.
You just have a sense they were starting to fall.
Yeah, I thought we executed really well. The first three shots of the game were exactly the ones we wanted, executed really well. We put in a few new sets as we do each game for sort of to match that team's weakness. I thought right away I felt really like offensively we were crisp. We understood our looks. We bought into attack points. And then defensively, we're totally locked into the game plan. We forced 14 turnovers in the first half. And they were in their home gym. So major growth on the DN from a month ago and major growth on the offensive end from a month ago. And, you know, the November basketball is to prepare you for your conference. And I'm so competitive, they have to be reminded of that. But if you were there, if you're going to, I'm going to have a team that plays that hard and is willing to get better literally week to week in such a tangible way, we're doing something right.
Yes. I mean, it was one thing I was struck by was that when things weren't going well, or even at the end when it, you know, Penn State pulled away in the overtime, you never really got mad at anything. Mm-hmm. You were very positive the entire way. And mm-hmm. I think you were seeing the same thing I was, that, which is growth mm-hmm. and, you know, playing without Bella and without Clay and without Taylor Bauer, you're thinking to yourself about how you're developing these guys and mm-hmm. seeing what you have. And I also sort of figured that the day is going to come where you're going to have a game on the road in the league where, you know, you're going to pull it out at the end and you're going to be like, oh, well, like, you know, it was a lot easier than when we played at Penn State. Like, we learned from that, or Seton Hall. Mm-hmm. Like, we learned from that. We moved forward. And and I think those were the takeaways.
Yeah, I'm really glad we have the schedule we have. I mean, obviously, with what we have coming up and what we've already played, there are no gimmies. And a young team, we don't have time to take a year for them to get better. So we're throwing him to the fire, and it's important that they respond, and they've done that. I thought there were some officiating inconsistencies that are hard to swallow, so we certainly will send those, and we have sent them to the officiating committee. I think also you're relying on very few pieces to be really great. And so end game, we've had a 5-point lead with under 2 minutes to play each of the last two games. Against really good teams, and that's inexperience, and I get it. But hopefully when you get to these games that really matter, we can learn from those.
I mean, you also get an appreciation for what Bella Allery means to your team. Like in a situation like that, to have her on the court changes a lot of things.
Yeah, it also puts people in positions, right? Sydney Jordan's a three, right? And she has a real advantage at the three spot physically. So you can run us. We have certain looks for her late. We have certain looks for Carly and Bella in combination late. We have certain looks for threes late. And right now we got people in different positions than they're used to playing in terms of where their matchup is defensively. So, like I said, as long as they're executing what we're asking them to do offensively, and they're continuing to gain aggressiveness and confidence on the O end, and then an incredible buy-in on the D end, then when we get our pieces back, we'll be better. Regardless of record. And so I'm seeing that. We could have lost both of those games, the last two games, by 15. And I don't know what your takeaways are there. We've got a lot of great takeaways.
So one is Gabrielle Rush continues to be a offensive leader. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was the one more than anybody else. It started out and looked like every shot she took was going in, and mm-hmm. none of them did. And then mm-hmm. she just stayed with it, and she flipped it on and ended up with 20 points. And Carly gives you what Carly gives you. And I thought Sydney Jordan had a good game, and she was aggressive, especially challenging, players who were physically taller than she was. But really, like, the freshman, I thought that was, like, you know, kind of interesting to watch them play. And, like, you know, I even had to look down. I'm like, who's number 12?
I know. Number 12 in there. I thought the freshman played well. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Sydney Jordan's a warrior. A great story about Sydney is, so, you know, obviously it's well documented now that we're without sort of those four main pieces from last year. And I get a call from our director of ops at, like, I don't know, 8 o'clock. Saturday night, and she said, hey, Sid's flight is canceled. Sid was doing her Rhodes Scholar final application. Final interview in Indianapolis. So she missed. She left Friday morning. So she's going to come back on the last flight at State College on Saturday. So she wasn't at practice Friday or Saturday, and her flight was canceled. So I immediately call Molly, who's at the football celebration, and finding out, her being a student athlete, like, what are we allowed to do? Apparently, this is news that if you are, the university pays for your travel if you're a Rhodes Scholar finalist. I don't know that because I was not a Rhodes Scholar finalist. But so fortunate, there was a significant period of time on Saturday night where I thought we were also going to be without Sydney Jordan.
Would have been bad. Very problematic for that game. I think, on another box score in front of me, I think 12 points, 9 rebounds.
Yeah, it might have been more. I think it was actually, she had a double-double, 14 and 11, which both career highs. But like you said, she's not... her desire is not to have the ball late in possessions and to win games for you. And the fact that she was able to have the ball, we forced her. Exactly. We forced her to have the ball. We called plays for her and looks for her, and she responded. Great growth.
And the other thing about Penn State, it wasn't just that they had one inside player. They rotated like four of them throughout the whole game.
No doubt.
So she was going up against, you know, fresher bodies.
Yeah.
Grace Stone, I thought, was really good.
Yeah, Grace Stone,
And was confident going to the basket late, in critical situations. She had the three-point, not the three-point shot, but the layup, and it got fouled.
Yeah. Yeah, Grace is really good. She's knows basketball. She's a Princeton type player. She actually was a kid who came to my Tiger camp back in sixth grade, so I've known her a long time. And for her, it's understanding the college pace. So I've been really hard on her about that. And I sort of before the game, I just looked her square in the eye in our whole team, in front of our whole team, and I was like, you need to be so tired that you have to come out, not that you can play a long time. And I thought that's exactly what she did. She was so tired because she was playing so hard, and you saw the difference it made for her.
And then number 12.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. She's so cute. Little Maggie. Is that Maggie's number?
Maggie, yes.
Yeah. Maggie Connelly's going to be really good. I mean, I joke with her. She looks like a middle school kid. And she is this – she weighs less than I do and is smaller than me. That's not a great equation for basketball success at our level. This kid knows how to play. She's tough as can be.
Took the last shot of regulation.
Took the last shot of regulation right off the glass. She's fearless. She's competitive. She's coachable. She's you tell her something one time and it's done. So she's gonna have a great career here.
Yeah, she was impressive, especially in that situation. And you have to temper and measure everything about the fact that it's at a Big Ten team.
No doubt.
You also you don't play in arenas like that a lot. So just being in an arena like a 16,000 seat arena like that also takes a little bit of adjustment. Let's talk about Cancun. You guys are leaving early Tuesday morning, heading to Cancun for three games.
Yeah.
All of them you will be the underdog in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you hope to accomplish in Cancun? And how much of this do you want them to have, a good experience as much as the basketball piece?
Yeah, it's a part of our journey. So it's an important piece that has to have takeaways. It has to bring us together in a way that only you can do on international travel and holidays together and a lot of families going. The teams we're playing are excellent, and they're all different. You've got a five-out DePaul team that's going to play really fast and want to score in the hundreds. And then you've got a Syracuse team that's going to press you the entire game and play zone. And then you follow that up with a Kansas State team that's going to play a little bit of make-miss and be a very big, traditionally big, Big 12 team. So my first is that we stay healthy. Three games in 3 days is hard, and we're getting close to being full strength. So we'll be a week closer. So I'd like to stay healthy. And then I'd also like for our young guys to get as much this young team to get as much experience in those various things as we can. But the next for us, it's about how hard we can play. And we've come so far in that area, which is hard to do with young guys. So, and then we're going to enjoy Cancun. We're going to make sure of that. We play the early games. That will be helpful. But this team would have fun in jail, so I'm looking forward to traveling with them.
Let's not let it get to that.
It won't. Especially in Mexico. Yeah, let's stay out of that.
What about Thanksgiving? Is there something planned for that?
We have a game, and then the two teams are playing after it. So Syracuse and Kansas State play right after our game. So we're going to watch that. That's kind of how we're doing it. And then there is a Thanksgiving sort of celebration on the pool deck that a lot of people's families are going, so
Thanksgiving on the pool deck.
Exactly, Thanksgiving on the pool deck.
Just like in New Hampshire.
Exactly, just like here in New Jersey. Uh-huh. So, it's obviously through great generosity of our alums that we're able to take a trip like this, and I can assure them that it's always meaningful and it always helps.
So, what we'll leave on this note, but what was Thanksgiving like when you were a kid? I'm assuming that was a pretty big thing for you guys.
It's my favorite holiday. Yeah, it's my favorite holiday. Our family's really close, and I've got a lot of immediate and extended family all in New Hampshire. So, and then going to school at Dartmouth, the team would come down to my house on Thanksgivings when I was in college. So, there's something right about a holiday of gratitude, and I'll make sure that my team recognizes that of the spot we're in. I mean, we have healthy bodies, we have in most cases, and we have a competitive group. So, a lot to be thankful for.
Well, it's Thanksgiving Thursday. We want to wish everybody who is a fan of Princeton Women's Basketball a happy Thanksgiving, and we want to wish you a great trip to Cancun, and we'll talk next week about how that went and look ahead as you come back to this area to play some more games after that, and just want to say have a great trip, and thank you for being with us.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks, Jerry.
So for Courtney Bankhart, I'm Jerry Price, thanking everybody for listening, wishing you all happy Thanksgiving, and once again, thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Basketball.